If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 27. See, something that Marina and I have begun to learn, that we need to value the Word of God. How many agree on that? We need the Word of God. Without the Word of God, man perishes because lack of knowledge. When we do not have enough understanding of anything, you know, I mean, if we had a bit of a more understanding on this projector, we could have made sure that was up and running. But because something that we didn't understand what went wrong, we couldn't have it. But that's okay. I'm not trying to make a point about the projector. But what I'm trying to say is that we need the Word of God. And the Word of God enables us not just to go by and by, but it enables us to become overcomers, enables us to become champions, enables us to become the like Jesus. Here is an amazing scripture that the Lord has given us. It's in Deuteronomy 27, the last verse, 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Cursed is he who does not do the word of God. I mean, when we do not follow the word of God, we fall under curse. That means when we have not enough understanding of the word of God, we fall under curse. But look at what Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. How many would like to be in higher places than where you are right now? Marina and I are really, we never quit. We say, God, I know we're going to get better and better and better. Why? As long as we begin to believe in the Word of God, live in the Word of God, you will grow. And one last scripture, Galatians chapter 3. Then Rodrigo, you can get ready to come up. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. It's in the New Testament. Verse 24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Let me read that again. Therefore, the law is the word of God, has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. You see, you and I have fallen short of the glory of God. You and I have all committed sin, but because of his grace, we are saved. But we need to be tutored. We need to be taught. We need to be perfected. We need to. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, God's scripture is breathed by God. It's for our instruction, for our reproof, for our correction, so that you and I could be equipped for the saints of God. So we need the Word of God within us. You know, tell one another, I need to know more about the Word of God. Come on, tell one another, I need to know more about the Word of God. We need the Word of God. With the Word of God is what you and I are going to prosper. And what we have done, we have started a Bible study every Friday night, a free, absolutely free, no cost to you, where you can come and learn about the Word of God. How many would like that? You know, we need to go to Bible school. We don't have the time to go to Bible school because we have a full-time job. So we are putting together a couple of teachers every Friday. Rodrigo Carmona is one of them. That he will come, we will come, and we will take you chapter by chapter and teach you on the Word of God. So how about we all stand and thank Jesus. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you for a moment. Thank you, Jesus, for your Word. Thank you for giving us this Word this morning. We're going to receive what Rodrigo is going to share this morning, that the Word of God bring light and life to us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good morning. Okay, what we are going to do is the following. I'm going to sign to the projection there, and you're going to look like you're reading something there. No, just kidding. Has some very nice drawings. How many of you have seen it's a 1 minute clip called it's also in writing God's love letter. How many enjoyed? I was looking for a title of what I'm going to talk about now, and it struck to me that, in fact, we had two times the author of that writing here, and it struck to me that, in fact, the Bible is God's love letter. And that clip, the only thing that did was make a great summary, 1 minute summary of what the Bible says. And the whole Bible is God's love letter. The whole Bible is not a manual of theology. The whole Bible is God's love letter for you. Now, imagine that you are dating someone and you have not been able to marry yet. And because of any reason, you are distant. So you write letters. When I was in military service in Argentina, I was 18. I was already dating Liliana. So I would write to her and she would write back. Now, what is the attitude when you read one of those letters? You receive a letter from the other one. And you're engaged and you're like 18 and everything is woo. And how do you read that letter? Nowadays, it's like when we are in heaven. We have full access to one another. At that time, we didn't have one access. I had a... When I came to Canada, I came before her and came with a 6 months consultancy contract, so I couldn't move all the family because it was a 6 month thing and didn't know what was going to happen. So I was living alone here. So I discovered Skype. Marvelous thing. It's a great, great thing. Biggest thing in internet history. So we were video conferencing with my house, with Liliana, the kids. Imagine when you are like all day alone and get into the empty the apartment and open the door and you connect a computer and you can talk with one another. It's not about the grammatical thing of what you're saying, right? It's not like, okay, I'm going to write down, I'm going to analyze the words. It's communication. It's receiving the love. Today we were in worship, and I love as Faustin says, it's great when things don't work. I completely agree. When we get too much into a schedule, it's hard to be paying attention to what God wants to do. Because we already know what we're going to do. He's here, he's not here, we just go like, I already know what I'm doing. So I'm going to start by the end of my message. This part goes at the end of everything. I was to explain why it's important to study the Word of God. But let's go to Romans 8. And we are going to do the practical exercise first. And if we have time, we are going to go through why, where, how. Romans 8, 31. I'm going to read it. If I had the projector, we could all read it out loud, but as we may not all have the same translation, the words may not be exactly the same. But we're going to read Romans 8, 31 to 39, But we are going to read it as receiving a word of prophecy from the Lord to our lives today. So let's put in this mental stage. We go to a prophetic team, and the best prophetic guy in the whole TACF, the best one, I don't know, Isabel Alumni will be probably. Isabel Alumni is there waiting for you. She's all excited. And she says, I have a word of God for you. And let's receive this word as a prophetic word for us. Amen? What shall we say? If God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for you, how would he not give with him freely all things? Who shall be accusing you against in front of God? God is the one that is justifying you. Who is going to condemn you? Christ is the one who died for you. And furthermore, he has also been risen, and he's in heaven at the right hand of God, and he's making intercession for you. Who will separate you from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, fame, being poor, being rich, violence. For it's written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, in all the problems, trials we have in the life, you have in your life, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, no present things, no things to come, nothing super high, nothing super low, nothing created will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would that be a good word to receive? Stand up for one moment. We are going to pray on that word. Raise your hands like you are going to receive something. Holy Spirit, we receive your word now. And we ask you full revelation of what it says here, Lord. We have full access to your love. And nothing, past, present, future, good, evil, high, low, will be able to separate us from your love in Jesus Christ, in all eternity. We receive now your love, and we receive the power that comes from knowing that we are loved and accepted. We receive now, Lord, supernatural revelation of what your word says. We receive your love. We receive your love now. More, Lord, more. More, 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 more of your love. Your love is infinite. We open our hearts, our minds to receive your love. If when we were enemies, Jesus Christ died for us, how much more now that we are your sons and daughter, you will not give us everything for our blessing. We receive your blessings now, Lord. We receive your blessings now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Was that good? Was that good? Did you feel that God loves you? How do you know? Sorry? He said so. Hallelujah. He promised. How do we know? It's right in our hearts. The Holy Spirit, the main task of the Holy Spirit from here until the second coming of Jesus is to take the deepest secrets from the heart of God and reveal to us. That is his main job. I love ministering to people. There was this guy, he had an Argentine polo shirt, and he went on a side and couldn't resist just to pray for him. I love ministering to people. I love to see the supernatural. But the main task of the Holy Spirit is not someone falling to the floor 1 minute. It's revealing the depth of the love, of the purpose that God has for us. And how does the Holy Spirit does that? He takes the Word of God and he reveals it to our hearts, to our minds. How do I know God? I read his love letters. How do I receive the love of God? I read his love letters. And the Holy Spirit reveals that love. This is not like studying geography. You don't go to the Bible like you go to a geography book, a history book. You go to the Bible like you go to your Father that is in heaven. And you listen what he's saying. God has a purpose for each one of us. And God has a personal relationship with each one of us. My relationship with God is not the same that your relationship with God. It's different because it's personal. My relation with each one of my sons, I have three sons, two daughters, one son. I am Spanish. Two daughters, one son. I have three kids, I have three kids. My relationship with each one of them is different. The dialogue, the way that I communicate, our history together is different. That doesn't mean that I love more one or the other or my purpose is higher. No, it's just that the style of communication that we have developed is different. It's personal. I don't treat like, oh, kids, this is my message for you. I go to each one, I talk to each one, I hear what they say. That is our relationship with God. Everything that God wants all of us to have is in the Bible. The Bible was not written by coincidence, was not written by human effort. God wrote the Bible. And that is the most important thing that we need to know. As God wrote the Bible, he designed what he wanted to tell us. Let's read Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21. This is God telling to the people. And it says, are we there? No? Yeah. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. tie them as symbols in your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them in the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now, what is God saying there? There is life in my words. Fill your mind with my words. There is power. There is spiritual authority. There is revelation of my love. There is freedom in my words. Remind them, talk about them, share to them. Hallelujah. Why should we study the Bible? Why should we read the Bible? Why should we go to the Bible? What do you say? For direction in life? Sorry? We need to renew our minds with the Word of God. Yes. Sorry? To know who we are. Amen. To know who is God. Yes. Sorry? Increase our faith. The faith comes from hearing the Word of God. What else? Why would I go to the Bible? To know our purpose in life. To remind ourselves about His promises. We can claim it and we can receive His promises. Yes. Sorry? Daily food. We receive strength and we grow. It's like a spiritual food. Amen. What else? Yes. Strength, power, comfort, wisdom. Yes. To develop discipline. Hallelujah. It's one spiritual discipline. To go to God and hear from God. Yes. Healing, deliverance, and restoration. Hallelujah. To overcome the world and the culture of the world. We live in the world. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. The feet is the point of contact with the ground, with the world. And Jesus said, "You are clean because my words have cleaned you." We receive cleaning in our minds, in our souls, in our emotions, in our spirit, through the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Haven't you noticed there's sometimes Christians like believe and then they stop coming to church and they come again and then they're not sure and then they stop coming and then they come again and then another guys are there and they're facing problems, troubles, whatever they're facing, but they're there. They're fighting the good fight. What is the difference? I think it's the foundation of the faith. If the foundation is what I feel, my faith comes and goes with my feelings. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. That's great. I love to feel the Holy Spirit. Everyone is invited to the ministry, the intercession team, 9:30, and like there. And we are going. If you go there early and you stay until 10:30, 1 hour, I promise you, you're going to feel the presence of God even stronger than in the meeting. I promise you. Love to feel the presence of God. Now, we are going to depend on our feelings as the base of our faith. Apostle Paul in one moment said, we were in a shipwreck. We were like 2 days in middle of the sea. I thought I was going to die. Now, I don't think he was feeling like super spiritual at that time. He knew the purpose he had, and he thought he was going to die. Are we basing our spiritual life in what we feel, or are we basing our spiritual life in what God says? Is our faith based on our emotions? Is our faith based on God? I'm not that great. One day I can be super spiritual, another day I'm like really worried about this and that and concerned. I don't know, this, that. God never changes. We go to Romans 8, we just read it. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about the trials. Don't worry about the good things. Don't worry being in a low place. Don't worry being in a high place. Nothing can separate from the love of God. Now, that is because I'm so strong that I will never be influenced by the circumstances? No. That is because God is so strong that he will never be influenced by the circumstances. What I feel, the heart of the man plays tricks with ourselves. We don't know our heart. We cannot trust our life to what we feel in our heart. Our heart may come, go, I feel, I don't feel. That's life. My mother died, I wasn't feeling very happy. And like, oh, I'm super. But in no moment I doubt who is God and what God says. And that is the basement, the foundation of my spiritual life. It was really, really hard to give my life to the Lord. There was a guy preaching me, and it took 2 years. I went to a church that Liliana, my now wife, used to attend. And I was a Catholic background, but I didn't have a spiritual life, a strong picture of spiritual life. So I was like, doubting. Okay, are these guys, what they say is according with the Bible or not? So I was like taking exams. To then some extent that there was the Sheldon of that time, but he's a grown-up man, 30-something, and he was training the youth to go and preach. So he will bring, I was 18, he will bring me to the team and ask the ones who received the training to try to preach to me and answer my questions. If they could survive me, then they could go to the street, no problem. I was like a worst-case scenario. Really kind of a hard questions, direct to the point, deep, no theatrical thing. And I just like, okay, let's keep it real. What about this? I spent 2 years reading the Bible to see if what I was being preached was in the Bible. When I realized that everything was correct, still the Holy Spirit had to come and save me by his power. So my life was changed. Completely changed in one moment by the Holy Spirit. But before that, and laid a very strong foundation in what I believe and why I believe in that. And to be honest, in some moment where I realized that what they were preaching me was correct, but I couldn't change on my own, I was saying, oh, I wish I didn't have to be all this time trying to go through the Bible to... But looking from my current perspective, even that waiting time was good. Because I decided in what I was going to base my spiritual life. Now I want to ask you, who wants to base your spiritual life in the feelings, your personal feelings, in your heart, your human heart, I'm not talking the heart of God, your human heart, and who wants to base your spiritual life in God's heart, and in God's word, in God's faithfulness? Make a choice. I'm not faithful. God is faithful. If I base my life in me, it's going to be coming and going. If I base my life in God, it's stable as a rock. Now, we are not saying here, and Jesus is very clear, those who hear my words and put them into practice, doesn't say hear my words, stop. Hear my words and put them into practice, I will compare to a man who edified the house on the rock. If you hear my words and you don't put it into practice, then you are building over the sand. When circumstances come, the house falls down. What is the difference? The difference is the kingdom of God. We love to pray. I love to pray. Kingdom of God, come. Will of God, be done. In that phrase, there is healing, there's deliverance, there is guidance from God, there is blessing from God, there is a spiritual move of the Holy Spirit. But in that phrase, we are saying, I receive the kingdom of God over my life. If I say kingdom of God come, the first place where it has to come is in my life. Then I can pray for the congregation, my family. The first thing is on my life. What is the kingdom of God? If you read the parables, we don't have time, but if you go and read the parables, more than 9 out of 10 parables are about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a seed. The kingdom of God is like a pearl. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. The kingdom of God is like a coin. It's all about the kingdom of God. All Jesus' teachings, when he sat down and started teaching, was about the kingdom of God. What is that? It's receiving the authority of God over our lives. So another secret to have a strong, live spiritual life, an active, life-changing spiritual life, is to receive the kingdom of God on our lives. We don't go to the Bible, we don't go to the presence of God like spectators. Okay, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to watch the show. The music is nice, the preaching, I go to the Bible, how interesting this and that. No. We go like going to the King of Kings to receive instructions on how should we live, what should we believe in. Then the Holy Spirit has freedom to change our lives. I want to be clear on this. We don't need to have in ourselves the strength to obey everything that is in the Bible. Because then nobody could be saved. I would not be saved, you would not be saved. That is why Jesus Christ died for us in our place, because we are unable to do everything. We are justified by faith. But we need to voluntarily get in the kingdom of God, receive the kingdom of God. If we open ourselves to the presence of God, if we receive the kingdom of God over our lives, I guarantee that the presence of God, the glory of God, the love of God, the freedom of God, the authority given by God will be present in your lives. I guarantee. But not if you go to a Bible like I'm going to study history. We need to invite the King of Kings to bring his kingdom to our lives. And from our life, expand the kingdom of God around us. But the first place is in our own lives. How do we study the Word of God? And with this win, how do it? Okay, you convince me, I'm there, I want to study the Word of God, sounds great, I want the kingdom of God to come into my life. What do I do? Nobody? What do I do? Ask God to open our hearts. Sorry? To apply the word to our mind in everyday life. And wisdom. Amen. And practical. I mean, let's be really practical. I mean, I leave this Sunday and said, okay, you know what? I think that there is a point there. Maybe I should receive what God has to tell me through the scripture. How do I do it? First of all, we need to separate some time to do it, right? Oh, I'm too busy. No, sorry, I cannot read the Bible. I'm too busy. We can do it alone or we can do it in groups. I found that many times it's easier to do it in groups. Because if we talk, we are sharing what God has revealed to each other. We speed up the process. I receive what I receive, plus I receive what the others in the group received. So that is the reason why I want to invite or challenge you to start receiving from God through His Bible. You can do it alone in your house. That's great, I do it. But if we can get together and share the Word of God, there is a lot to be gained. Plus, the presence, the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit revealing His Word is stronger when two or three or more get together according with God's will, invite His presence, and read the Word in front of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I want just to leave you with that thought, that proposal, that challenge. Let's all go to the Word of God. Let's receive everything that God has in store for us. And the ones that are available, let's get together and let's study the Word of God. There is victory in doing that.